Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Wake up to something different on Sunday mornings by joining me, Pete Evans, for Spinning Jazz. The finest in modern jazz, from hard bop to bossa nova, from Latin to soul. That's Spinning Jazz every Sunday morning at 9 on Sheffield Live. 93.2 FM.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Don? You know what, I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3, here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
Hello, I'm Harry Wilburn. I present Steel & Wire every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Americana, bluegrass, American roots, and more. Lots of guests, lots of local music and musicians. That's Steel & Wire, Wednesday, 10 a.m.
You are listening to fabulous Harry Wilburn on Steel & Wire.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
This is Sheffield Live.
Good afternoon and welcome to the film show on Sheffield Live with me, Martin.
And me, Denise.
We're back. Hope you're all recovered from our being snowed in for the week.
Two days. Depending on where you are geographically.
Exactly, exactly. If you're up near the peaks, it can be still a bit treacherous up there.
Maybe that's put you in the mood for Christmas films, though, Martin.
Well, something then followed up which didn't put me in the mood for Christmas films. I'll get to that in a moment.
We will, yeah.
Some news. There were some photos that have appeared online from the set of Guillermo del Toro's new film, which is an adaptation of Frankenstein.
I haven't seen these, Martin, so I'm imagining I'm a listener and describe them to me.
Well, there's
in
some photos
details.
Of some people in Victorian. It looks like it was all shot in the Old Town district of Edinburgh. It looks very sort of oldie worldy, and there's quite a bit of gore splattered over people's aprons and clothing. So I think he's doing it traditional.
That doesn't sound like Guillermo del Toro, does it?
What? Strange turn of him. But Oscar Isaacs is Victor Frankenstein, and Jacob Elordi is the monster. Is that old paradox, having someone really, really beautiful and handsome as the monster? So I don't know if they're going for like a Boris Karloff flat top with bolts in the neck. or whether it's going to be like more of one of these, you know, he creates a thing of beauty which then deteriorates in front of his eyes, you know, that sort of thing. So we shall have to see how it goes. But, you know, it's...
I think it's going to be tasty, don't you?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah. Hopefully.
I mean, you think it's with that with Nosferatu coming out next year
well. Yeah, is that a... They're doing it in black and white. Have I mixed my...
I think it just looks black and white, yeah, because it looks very, very grey. so that is... that's one to look for next week. Next year, sorry. I think it's being financed by Netflix, so whether or not it will come into theatres or not.
For about a week.
Catch it for a week. Yeah, yeah. So let's like, put it up for some awards. Okay, yeah, so it's Christmas. Yeah, Christmas.
Wait a minute. If you're bringing this up, this means I can officially start talking about Christmas on the show leading up to Christmas.
No.
Right. So is it one...
Because...
One rule for mine, one rule for Denise.
No. If you let me finish what saying... Right. I was going to lead in by saying, you know, this is the time of year where it seems one or two channels on Freeview are devoted to pumping out Christmas movies.
And yet you're new to this, I think, because you were talking to me about this earlier and you weren't aware of this phenomenon.
No. So, and I can
honestly... It's an industry that does kick off in about September.
Yeah. I just wish I weren't aware of it. That's all I can say. I almost want to sort of now shut down, talk about Christmas films. I am going to review one later on in the show, which actually sort of seems to combine all the evils of this particular genre in one particular movie. But it is just so weird, because there never used to be that many Christmas films, did there?
I don't know, it's a bit like Christmas albums. I remember working in a shop and the same stuff would come out every year.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, I didn't know you'd done a Christmas album, because it's gone by January.
But there are so many out there now. It's like a disease. It's a virus of Christmas films that all seem to take the same sort of bricks to build up a very shaky wall.
Yeah, woman in her 20s/30s, lives in the city, doesn't care about friends, doesn't want a partner, doesn't want to see her family, goes back to rural small town her family is in that she doesn't really want to. There's a guy working in a shop or delivering Christmas trees that they end up together. Is that...
Yeah, that's about it. So
cynical about Christmas, goes to small town, loves Christmas.
Loves Christmas again all of a sudden.
I think there's a brilliant Saturday Night Live sketch on this. I'll show it to you after, but it's where the woman, they take that trope, but the woman realises that, oh my God, everyone here is racist. Everyone here is bigoted. I'm going back to the big city, thank you very much.
Funnily enough, there was that exact trope in this one that I watched. And so when I said I didn't want to... can we just leave it for another... leave it for one more week after this?
Yeah, that's maybe... All. Yeah, because we'll be in late November soon.
Yeah. But that's... And then so once we get into December...
Yeah, you'll allow because it. Then,
well, it's not so much I'll allow it, but we'll be playing lots of William Shatner records, so we'll be in the mood for it to be Christmas. That's all I'm saying.
Getting a Judy Garland in, I think.
Yeah. look. Oh, the CD's broken. Oh, it's got a big scratch down it. Yes, so Christmas from Hell is just something I've touched on there.
Welcome to the world of it, Martin.
I don't know. I'm leaving already. I'll be talking a little more about it when I review, or should I say eviscerate, one of the films that you can currently enjoy to bring back the magic of Christmas, it says here. Trailer trash. We've got a few here this week, haven't we?
Good one to start.
We have mentioned this film before, but
we saw a very, very small teaser trailer for this, like, because it was at TIFF, wasn't it, Toronto? A Better Man,
the Robbie Williams biopic.
For those not aware, Robbie Williams in this film is inexplicably or completely understandably, whichever point of view you have, played by a CGI monkey.
Yeah. A chimp,
fine, yeah.
I think, a chimp.
Yeah, a chimp.
I mean, if we haven't had enough CGI monkeys this year, which I'm sure you'll be telling us about later on, won't
well,
you?
Well, in fact, linked to... I went to see Wicked last night, which I will be mentioning later at length. but as I walked into the trailer with my friend Sarah, she wasn't familiar with this film. Obviously, she doesn't listen to the show.
And she's still your friend?
She turned around to me and said, What is this? And it was the trailer was on just as we were walking in.
Yeah.
And she was like looking at me in that what the heck kind of way. And I was like, yeah, no, Sarah, this looks great. I can't wait to see this. Who's his nan in the trailer? It looks like Alison Steadman.
I think it's Alison Steadman. His nan, yeah. Yeah, looks like it.
It looks fabulous.
And there are, you know, that there are actors playing Take That.
Yeah, yeah. They're not all monkeys. Robbie Williams is the only monkey.
Liam and Noel Gallagher apparently are played by two other actors. So I can't wait.
Me too. And I, to be honest, I never thought we'd be sat across the studio with you going, I can't wait to see this Robbie Williams biopic, Denise.
Yeah.
But that is essentially what Martin is saying to us.
And I don't because I think it's going to be... Well, I think it's the only way I could tolerate a Robbie Williams biopic.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the story of Robbie Williams? Is he a monkey / chimp? Yes. Fine. Go with it.
I can go with that. I'm going to live with it for now.
I think you're bringing up Christmas.
Oh,
again
yeah.
Now.
I don't know. Gee, I got dragged in because I was in Christmas Hades this week.
Bit of snow. We looked out
bit
the
bit of snow. Yeah, that was it. Snow. Oh, it's got to be Christmas, isn't it?
Jack Black.
Jack Black in Dear Satan? Or is
well,
it
it's
Dear Santa?
Dear Santa, but it.
It's actually it's, Dear Satan.
Yeah.
Has it ever occurred to you, you know, it's only one misspelling away from Santa to Satan.
Oh, what a novel idea, Martin.
Yeah, I know. I've been sitting there feeling really pleased with myself this week because obviously I've been thinking about Christmas a lot and thinking, God, if you just move those to the end, that could be so... Oh, I wonder what could happen. Well, excuse me, Hollywood have had that thought already.
Oh, they have had an original thought.
So there goes my pitch to Warner Brothers on this. And a small child sends off a letter to Santa, which he spells S-A-T-A-N. And it gets to the wrong address.
Oh.
And Jack Black as Satan.
I would have thought Satan probably gets a lot of mail at this time of year as well
he
as
gets
Santa.
A lot of it from me. I'm in close contact with him. I mean, he's got to be more fun, isn't he? You know? It's like, you know, It's a Wonderful Life. Don't you prefer the town when it's gone to hell and it's full of brothels and,
it is a kid's film,
saloons.
Though, so I kind of get the feeling that maybe Satan's going to learn a lesson from a small
it
child.
It looks like, yeah, I think Latreille is saying.
We do need Satan, guys. In these times. Because if Satan turns good, does that mean Santa's going to turn bad?
Well, we've already had bad Santa.
We've had lots of bad Santa, haven't we?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob.
Who we'll be talking about later. Badder Santa.
Bad and badder.
Yes.
Oh, I can't wait till I'm officially allowed to stop talking about Christmas films. Okay.
All we've got to look at is just next weekend where we don't talk about it and then it's full on Christmas extravaganza.
Right, okay.
Because we're in December.
Get the bells out.
Ring them bells.
Great, thanks.
And to finish off with trailer trash, there's also an extended trailer out for A Complete Unknown, the Bob Dylan biopic.
Now, I'm going to have to leave this more to you.
No, okay.
Because I've seen the trailer.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm going to watch the film.
I can understand that. But Timothy Chalamet as... Chalamet. Is playing Bob Dylan, and the film covers his early period with him as a folk singer up to the bit where he goes electric and all hell breaks loose. So this is an extended trailer which shows Chalamet doing a number of Dylan performances, and it looks pretty amazing, I must say.
And I'm glad of that, but I'm probably not going to... I've never liked Bob Dylan.
Mm.
Like, and I appreciate great musician. It's not that I dislike the person. Yeah. It's just I don't like the style, the drawl. And I do like other singers that sing like that, but just never.
That's the whole thing about Dylan.
It's not for me, Martin.
Well, all I'm saying is, you know. Yeah, there's been so many great cover versions of Dylan's songs.
Yeah, I do like some of them, yeah. So I appreciate the... Yeah.
And I also think with Dylan, he's someone... You can like certain periods of his work, you know? And but I'm not that keen on the early acoustic folk albums, but I love those ones, where he goes electric and it causes this storm amongst the folk music world that he's betrayed them.
It was rather a big deal at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I think it's going to be... I'm looking forward to it, and that's going to be out middle of January. Or we should say, I think the Robbie Williams film is out on Boxing Day.
Yeah, and I was just cursing, you know, the festive season a little bit because I want to see it on the day it comes out, but I won't be able to.
Why?
I'll be in the bosom of my family down south.
Well, take your family.
Eating food.
Take your family. Take sandwiches.
Actually, I did go and see Robbie Williams once with my sister.
Really?
At Milton Keynes Bowl. I know you wouldn't have thought, but I've seen a varied amount of live acts, and Robbie Williams was one of them, and I had a lovely time.
Mm-hmm.
That's my exciting story about Robbie Williams, apart from we didn't really plan how to get home and got absolutely soaking wet in the car park waiting. Milton Keynes is a difficult place to get anywhere from.
Oh, don't tell, I've got bad stories of Milton Keynes. Mm. I've got to Milton Keynes and haven't been able to get out of Milton Keynes, and it was incredibly traumatic.
They designed it like that?
Yes.
Because people would try to leave and they thought, we need to stop this.
I went there by train and it was on a very hot day and they stopped all trains going to or from Milton Keynes. And I had the most horrific journey. In fact, I couldn't get home. I had to go back down to London to my sister's. But that's a story for another time, because I didn't meet any celebrities on that particular journey.
Listen to our other show, How to Get Back from Random English Towns.
I think we need some music.
We do, and you've got some this week, haven't you?
Yeah, and I had no idea what to do this week with music. I had a
scarred
a blank,
as you were by my week of Nick Cave.
Scarred as I was. I was halfway through cutting my second ear off, and then I thought,
I invited that, to be fair.
Why don't I play some old school stuff? So I've got a selection of Elmer Bernstein. Or is it Elmer Bernstein? How do you...
I'd go, well, do our rule. Elmer Bernstein, quickly.
Elmer Bernstein, who, of course, has composed some of the most famous film scores. He did The Magnificent Seven. Thank you, Shelley, for playing that some weeks back. The Great Escape. And so I've gone off a little bit off the beaten track with things, but I'm going to start off with one of my famous, one of my favourite pieces of music by him, which is a score he did for Walk on the Wild Side.
Hey, Babe.
Which also has... Have you ever seen the Walk on the Wild Side?
Mm-mm.
It's got what I think is one of the best credit sequences ever. It's like a little short film. And it was shot by a guy called Saul Bass, who did loads of the great credit sequences. Yeah. And he was like a graphic designer.
He did a lot for Hitchcock, didn't he?
He did a lot for Hitchcock, and he did. And this is just brilliant. This little sort of short film he makes, which the credits unfold over. So this is Elmer Bernstein from Edward Dmytryk's film of A Walk on the Wild Side. Thank you. You're listening to The Film Show on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, and on digital. And that was the theme music from Edward Dmytryk's Walk on the Wild Side by Elmer Bernstein. I'll call him Stein next time I say the name.
Stein.
And then we can...
Tomato, tomato, tomato.
Tomato, tomato. Right, so we've... it's just been a bit of a cobble week, isn't it? Where we've cobbled stuff together. Where we were
just
thinking.
Say that just because I'm researching on the internet right now.
So frantically. Oops, not there. But we've got a couple of pieces. This particular section is going to be talk probably more about stuff that's on TV for you to watch than what's out in theatres right now. But the streaming. Platforms are currently invaded by the work of one Taylor Sheridan. Sheridan has, over the past 10 years, become one of the most influential, successful, and I would imagine wealthy showrunners across such platforms as Paramount and Amazon. He's currently got four shows that are on... across platforms. There's Tulsa King, which is where Sylvester Stallone is a New York gangster who is sent out to Tulsa to drum up some business.
So are these all like long series, long, lot of episodes?
Yep.
I'm not talking like a mini-series.
These are... Well, I'll go through some. So Tulsa King has just opened on its second season, 10 episodes each season. There's Yellowstone, which is entering its final season,
right?
And that's and that's into its fifth and final season. And of course, the big story there was that Kevin Costner dropped out of the show, and they've had a rejig to wind everything up in this final season, which can sometimes cause problems. If any of you saw the House of Cards, which tried to end without Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't good. It wasn't good. There's another series which has started, Special Ops, Lioness, with Zoe Saldana and Nicole Kidman. And a new one, a completely new show that started last week, Landman, which is set in the Texas oil fields with Billy Bob Thornton. Now, Sheridan, he's one of these people you think, does this guy ever sleep? He started off as an actor in Sons of Anarchy about 10, 12 years ago, and then wrote a couple of film scripts. He did Sicario, Hell and High Water, and Wind River. And...
Oh. We Wind River.
Yeah. So he
Jeremy
has.
Renner.
Yes. Mm. He has this sort of like outdoor, out in the wild sort of vibe to his stuff. Quite often.
The whistling winds.
Whistling winds. Lots of criminal activity, drug cartels, all that sort of thing. It's almost like a cowboy noir that he's created.
Right. Yeah.
He's apparently also quite difficult to work with. He tends to, you know, do as I say, not as I do. And he runs all these shows, quite often writing nearly all of the episodes for all these shows. And I think that was one of the reasons he came into conflict with Costner. And with Yellowstone, it's like he's also trying to create a Yellowverse, because there's been two spin-off shows from that already, 1883 and 1923. He seems to show no sign of slowing down. As we're in this Trump 2 world as well, you're not quite sure what the political... Like standpoint of these as well. I mean, they're not... I wouldn't say they're right-wing, but they certainly promote a sort of rugged individualism sort of venue, albeit with social conscience, let's say.
So not like 80s Reagan American kind of Rambo.
Yeah, but
a little bit more nuanced.
But and I think the Lionesses show is a bit of a step out of his comfort zone, because it's the first one of his shows that has a female character as the lead character, with Zoe Saldana.
Right.
So we'll see how that one goes. But I watched the first two episodes of Landman this week with Billy Bob Thornton, and I thought they were really good. But there is something inside me which says, well, is Billy Bob Thornton ever bad? Because I think he's just great.
He's bad Santa.
Oh, bad Santa. But then we love a bad Santa. You had to get a bit more Christmas in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing my bit, Christmas free.
Hello, have we forgotten about Christmas, everybody?
Do you know it's Christmas in only 4 weeks, time? But Landman looked as though it could shape up as being really good. Billy Bob was pretty damn good in it. So that's my bit for TV. Turn onto any platform and you're probably watching a Taylor Sheridan show.
Except me.
You'll be watching Christmas stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Or, well, this last couple of weeks, I finally caught up with publishing sensation from a decade ago, Wolf Hall. So I bought the books when Wolf Hall came out.
Mm.
I got that far in. Still a very little space in between my finger
That's
and my
about
thumb
2 centimetres,
yeah.
That gap between your fingers.
And I thought, oh, I'll read that later.
Yeah.
The TV series came out, the first series, about 10 years ago now. Less than 10 years, 9 or 10 years ago. Starring Mark Rylance. And I thought, I won't watch that because I've got the book. I'd rather read the book first. So the first TV series passed me by. And then the second landed, well, it's showing in Reeves on a Sunday on BBC.
Yeah.
So the first two of the new series are on iPlayer. Anne Boleyn has now lost her head, spoilers. But I caught up with the rest. I thought, I'll just bite the bullet and watch it. And I'm here to tell you, 10 years after everyone else, what amazing television it is.
You've got it here last.
But it sent me on a bit of a sort of squirreling wormhole of what's on iPlayer. And there's a documentary that about the Six Wives, looking at them from a more female perspective. So I gave that a watch. But then I went down another one. There must have been an evening that I didn't see of Hardy, or a season of Thomas Hardy stuff. Now, I went through a period in my early 20s, I think.
That's some time ago, isn't it?
Was that Shut your cake
Were these shows in black and white then?
Well, I read all of the books in like a 2-year period when I was 20, 21. I remember reading Jude the Obscure on a bus and just bursting into tears when I got to the end. Miserable stuff, great forming stuff for your 20s. But I think it helped that I didn't read it at school. Otherwise, I'd hate it. But there's a whole wealth of TV adaptations out there. And on iPlayer at the moment, they've got Alan Bates as the mayor of Casterbridge. So it's from about 1975 or 1976, an adaptation, like a 6-part adaptation. So I've got stuck into that, the first two episodes. And it's really interesting watching like the different style of dramatisation of classic literature. Very watchable. I was thinking it might be a bit clunky, because sometimes you watch when it's more studio bound, but I think this is all sort of location bound rather than stuck into.
It is strange though, because they are two different animals, aren't they? That TV stuff that was shot in a studio and that where they did go,
and then suddenly they're in a different world.
Yeah,
and they go outside.
But I think that thing with the stuff that was shot in the studio, it's. The form of it is completely different, and it can work brilliantly.
Yeah.
You have to sort of step back and say, all right, then maybe some of the sets are shaking a bit, but it can be far more intense.
But this seems to be more like location shot, and it's really good.
Yeah.
There's also Far From the Madding Crowd, the 2015 film version, the David Nichols film, is on iPlayer. And there's a load of documentaries. You know, when we talked about this before, how the BBC in general used to have more arts programmes and they took art seriously. There's a load of Hardy documentaries that they've just slapped up there from like the 70s. There's one, The Lively Arts Strand, and it's called Thomas Hardy. A Haunted Man, and it's about his poetry that he came up with after the death of his wife, and because he treated her appallingly and then went into a massive grief mode when she died of regret and, you know, shame, I would have thought, as well.
Men.
Always the same, aren't they? But there's a load of old documentaries in there that I'm just sort of diving into at the moment. But then there's always great films on iPlayer. Well, they broadcast it, it's on there for a week, and then there's stuff that's on there for ages. Mm. But at the moment, The Mother is on there. You know the classic film with Daniel Craig, Anne Reed, when she's in her 70s, I think, and he's a fit young handyman.
And she's, well...
The older I get, the better that film gets, I tell you.
There's hope yet, you think. You but,
and there's a Powell and Pressburger classic. I Know Where I'm Going.
One of my favourites.
It is, isn't it? It's a gorgeous film. Was it filmed? I can't remember when it was filmed. Now, was it pre-war or during?
They made it right at the end of the war. I think they were making it at the end of the war, and when it came out, the war was over because he's going back. Well, Wendy Hiller is going up to Scotland, where she's going to marry some bozo who's the landed gentry.
She knows where she's going. She's going to marry a rich husband. Yeah. Thank you very much.
And she meets Roger Liversey, who's on leave from active service
in
the Navy.
And he's in so many of Powell and Pressburger's films, isn't he?
And she just sort of falls head over heels in love with him. Telling herself that she isn't.
Gradually, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh, love that film. That's on there.
I'll cry heavily at the end of that film. But I love watching it. It's a beautiful, beautiful film.
Oh, catch that on iPlayer. There's a couple of other things to mention. So just a couple of other terrestrial ones. ITV, because I was on the Tudor dive, I watched Mary, Queen of Scots last night, directed by Josie Rourke, Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie. And this is the film that Saoirse Ronan met Jack London, her now husband. Jack Loudon, sorry, her now husband. I really loved it. And it passed me by at the time for whatever reason. Gorgeous scenery, gorgeous. The acting is really restrained and it feels contemporary, but it feels respectful of the period it's set in the 16th century. Lovely film. And also just mentioned Channel 4 on my Tudor deep dive. If you want, they've still got on there the TV series of the Tudors, which is like the Tudors meets Dallas, if you like. Dallas and Dynasty.
Soapy Tudors.
Yeah, and I mean, it is just cheeky, irreverent, lots of fun. That's still on Channel 4. So that's my roundup of...
If you're really short of stuff to watch, there's a few hints from
it
for you.
It's just that I went down a Wolf Hall loophole and then caught some films as well. Really good.
Right, some more music.
Go on then, what you got next?
I've got another piece of Elmer Bernstein music, and this is the title music from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Thank you.
This is the film show on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and digital. And that was the theme music from To Kill a Mockingbird by Elmer Bernstein. I'm going to go out for a walk for a bit. I was thinking of getting a bus to Bakewell and then coming back because you're going to do a review of
Wicked. Right where you are. I am going to convince you. No, I'm not. I'm not going to convince Martin. I'm never going to convince Martin on the merits of The Wizard of Oz or Wicked or any of that oeuvre. This is not a film for Martin. Martin, this is not for you. We know that.
I know it.
We know it. We all know it. And that's fine. But I went to see Wicked last night. Let's get the difficult things out of the way first. It's 2 hours 40 minutes long. I thought it was going to be 2 hours 50 minutes with an interval. I think 2 hours 40 minutes. We were asked if there was an interval on the way in, and we're told no, and was like, well, that's a bit cheeky. Come on, 2 hours 40. So it does mean that people are up and down during the film. And I would say maybe the first, there were a few moments early on in the film where I was a bit like, When's the next song going to be? When are we going to get a song? So for those that don't know, they've been living under a rock or with Martin. oh, you chortled at me then. It's set in the world of Elphaba and Galinda, as she's known here, not Glinda. It's the origin story of the two witches.
Oh, dear.
Right, you can not like this, but you can't yawn during my review. Sorry. I will it kill your Christmas what? Review.
Please do.
So this is their origin story. It's a fabulous musical theatre. Now, I love musical theatre, but I've never seen Wicked. I know the songs because I've worked in panto, and so I know the climactic songs. They use a lot. They use a lot of the songs in panto, Defying Gravity is like an iconic song in musicals. This has been in development for quite some time, this film. It had a bit of a long story to get there. Directed by John M. Chu, who brought us Crazy Rich Asians and the musical In the Heights the other year. It's a very glossy, almost cartoony at times, production design of the film. It has an extraordinary couple of lead actors in it, Cynthia Erivo and Ariana Grande. And Cynthia Erivo plays Elphaba. She is a born green. We don't know why. She's an illegitimate. She's born to a mother and father, but her mother's had an affair, and somehow this means she's got a green baby. So she's been excluded and ostracised most of her life. She ends up at looking after her sister, who ends up being the Wicked Witch of the East, who is the witch that gets killed in Wizard of Oz. Martin's giving me nothing here. He's just looking at me going, stop talking about this film.
Please.
Look, I went in not really expecting to love it. Didn't really have much relationship with the musical itself, the stage musical. I loved it. It didn't feel like 2 hours, 40 minutes. I had a smashing time. I just think it could have shaved 20 minutes off with a tighter beginning. And what makes it for me, I think, is the performances, really. Ariana Grande, again, because of the age I am, because of when she came, she's like a pop star, sort of passed me by. I knew the name, and obviously attached to that horrific incident in Manchester, I thought she acquitted herself really well in that.
Yeah.
If you don't know if she's got the acting chops and you're not sure whether to go and see this film, Google some of her Saturday Night Live appearances. She's got great comic timing. She's got a fabulous voice. She reaches all the notes. She's got a really sort of high octave. Cynthia Erivo is really sincere and really bold as this character. They have a lot of fun with it as well, and it's a bit of a love story between the two of them. Jonathan Bailey is just fabulous as Fiero. Jonathan Bailey is it's well known in theatre circles, but he's also made the transition, so he's in Bridgerton, and in fact he used the same horse as he used in Bridgerton as he does in this film.
Fascinating.
Jeff Goldblum is Jeff Goldblum is the wizard, and Michelle Yeoh appears as like a professor who guides Elphaba. Look, it's just a lot of fun, unless you're Martin. Don't be put off by Martin, I'd say, and don't be put off by the running time. If you like a bit of musical, I mean, I'm always looking for a musical that's going to make people that don't like musicals.
Well, you
like
won't
musicals.
Have to look far because this is only part one of two.
It is, yeah. The next part is next November.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be darker and a bit bleaker because of. Without spoiling anything where this film ends up.
It's bleak enough for me already, I can tell you.
It's, yeah, just don't listen to Martin. I mean, I say that most weeks, but this week especially. It's enjoyable, it's a rate from me.
No.
Yeah, it is, yeah. I'm veering between 3.5 and 4 stars out of 5.
Well, I'm going to get on to my Christmas...
Have I left you time?
I've nearly 10 minutes you did on Wicked.
I'm defying gravity.
I'm going to... So Hot Frosty is one of these awful Christmas films. This one's on Netflix. And I'll just read you what the what it's about. Widow Kathy magically brings a snowman to life. His innocence helps her heal and find love again. They bond before the holidays, but he's doomed to melt. I mean, this is so bonkers. None of it makes any sense. None of it has any sort of follow-through. She puts a scarf around this snowman and he turns into a real person, but he still has the physical capabilities of a snowman, i.e. if he's inside and it's warm, he starts melting. But he goes into the kitchen and starts cooking all this stuff for her.
You're looking for realism in a magical Christmas.
There's realism and sort of not being and not being insulted. The cast, Lacey Chabert or Chabert, have you ever heard of her?
Nope.
No, Dustin Milligan, who I think was once in Schitt's Creek, but I can't remember him in it. This Lacey Chabert, you look through her on IMDb, and all it is Christmas movies, all of them made for television or made for streaming.
There's
a big market out there for lots of things. You know, that doesn't mean you should encourage them.
It's for their own good.
It's in this, you know, picture-perfect small-town America where there is only one black family. And the main black character is the town's policeman, who for some reason has got this hard-on for finding Jack, the snowman who's come to life, and is, you know, putting out a dragnet across the town. And there's no reason for these character traits in any of these people. The whole town seems to be happy that this snowman has come to life because he's going around doing all these good deeds for everyone. And then I thought, this is an avant-garde movie. I'm just watching this the wrong way. This must be like a Louis Buñuel film or something that he didn't want to put on his... It's got to be, because it makes no sense whatsoever. There's just nothing to it. I found myself in a void of emptiness where I really never, ever want it to be Christmas again. That's my review.
So that's the opposite of a rate. It's a slate,
I think,
isn't
you could
it?
Say it's the opposite of a rate.
Oh, I feel like maybe what should happen for Martin this Christmas is he spends some time at home with only access to one TV channel, and it's the Sony Christmas movies.
I'll be watching plenty of great Christmas movies, don't you worry.
We'll talk about that another time, won't we? I also caught up with Joy this week, so it had a... Oh, if only you had the bell.
Look at that. I'm here all week. Thank you.
So Joy was in the cinemas last week. It was showing at the Curzon, I think, until this week. But it's just come out on Netflix yesterday. So it's a biographical drama. It features Thomasin McKenzie as Jean Purdy, Bill Nighy as Patrick Steptoe. I can't take that name seriously without thinking someone's going to shout rag and bone. And James Norton as Robert Edwards, obviously the real three pioneers between the IVF treatment. So it starts in 1968 and finishes, culminates in 1978 with the birth of the first test tube baby.
Test tubby.
which does give you a hint of, like, you know, science takes a long time. Mm. Scientific breakthrough takes a long time. And it's presented here quite nicely in changing costume and period settings. It's... Screenplays by Jack Thorne. I'm trying to think. I find it an enjoyable, intriguing watch. It was an interesting watch, but I don't think it's going to stay with me.
Mm.
Like, and I think maybe that's, it depends on where you stand on the, whether you want children or not. And I've never wanted children. So it's difficult to make that leap of it taking over someone's life and being so important that they have to have children, and but I understand that that is where some people come from. It's an interestingly filmed. There's some interesting relationships, but I didn't find it moved me. Where I think it thought it would, but I'd still recommend it as a watch. It's an interesting story, but it's not one that will stay with me forever. So a gentle rate.
Okay.
I can't slate it, but I can't go mad for it.
Oh, I can slate Hot Frosty, believe me. Okay, right, another piece of music. Something sleazy, I think, for us to rid ourselves of all this Christmas cheer.
Like a bit of sleaze.
Well, you're going to get it here, baby. Elmer Bernstein's title music for Otto Preminger's shocking film about drug addiction, maybe the first Hollywood film to ever tackle the subject head on, The Man with the Golden Arm. We'll be right back.
That's like a shot in the arm, isn't it?
That's woken you all up, isn't it? Wiped away all that Christmas cheerfulness. This is the film show, Sheffield Live. What's on next week?
Ooh, well, what's coming out? New releases-wise.
Moana 2. I haven't seen Moana 1.
That's not for you, Martin, but it is quite highly rated.
Sounds as though it's not for you either.
Well, no, it's Lin-Manuel... Oh, gosh, get my tongue in. I'm on the radio. Lin-Manuel Miranda. And Moana is... It's got a really good reputation. I haven't seen it, but it's got a really good
because
reputation.
Because we don't do animation
between
films.
Between us, it's a bit of a gap.
That's all I'm saying.
However, it's got a very good reputation for... parents taking their kids and enjoying it themselves. I'm saying that. But the big release for us, Conclave.
Conclave.
Which I have seen already, and I'm looking
Oscar
forward
bait.
To chatting that
yeah.
with you.
It all looks very, sort of,
very
good. Yeah.
Very
serious.
Yep.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, Melanie Gourlay. Her season of films is on at the showroom. As we speak, it's happening. Mm-hmm. And it's finishing tonight with Revenge,
yes.
7:30. There's some shorts in there as well that look like they're going to be good too. I mean, I know what I'm doing on Sunday. I know what Martin's not doing on Sunday. At the Light in Sheffield, almost every screen is wicked. They're banking on a Greatest Showman style response to this film, I think. But there is a screening of The Wizard of Oz on Sunday at 12:30 at the Light. Martin won't be there. I might be. But I might double that up with... I need to see this film. We've talked about it loads on the show. I can't get anyone to come and see it, but Red One, I'm going to get it before, in case it's off by Christmas. I'm getting that watched on
Sunday.
You
might just ruin your Christmas. You ever thought of that?
But then there's also The Art of Action season continues at the showroom. The Wild Bunch is on all week on an afternoon. And
possibly,
Martin's got a theory.
Possibly one of the greatest films ever made. That's what I'd say about it. Yeah.
But it's kind of, it's only on in the afternoons, and that's.
That's
why
because
is
it's
that?
On for people like me.
Old men will go.
Old pensioners who like a good cowboy movie.
But there is also Safety Last this week, which, if you
Harold
haven't
Lloyd.
Seen that Harold Lloyd film at the pictures, I'll get that watched. I think it's on mostly afternoons, but it's on Tuesday evening as well.
That's for even older men to go and see in that case.
Or young women like me.
Oh. Well, I'll let you be the judge of that, listeners.
You got about a last bit of music to play us out with?
I've
gone Ariana Grande high there.
I thought you did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Well, thank you very much for listening. I don't know what we're going to talk about next week, but...
Well, we'll think of something. We usually do.
Yeah, Wicked 2.
I mean, I could talk about that for longer, if
you please
like.
Don't. We're drawing a line under Wicked for this week anyway. And,
you are.
Enjoy your movies. And I'm going to finish up with another piece of Elmer Bernstein music. And this is the theme music from John Wayne Thriller from the 1970s, where he was very old playing a cop called McHugh.
We'll be right back.